listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are indeed listening to State of the Arts on this fine Thursday, March 21st, the second day of spring, and with it comes one of our network's newest hosts, Oscar Jordan, who's sitting in for Paul Strolley today, who is in the midst of shooting a film this week. So Oscar has kindly agreed to fill Paul's rather large shoes, I might say, right? Oscar has a show here on the network that is very popular. It's a new show, but it's certainly gaining in popularity. It's called The Guitar Shop. It airs live on LA Talk Radio each Friday at 2 p.m. and features a fascinating conversation with some of the finest guitar players in the music industry, discussions about guitar, songwriting, news releases, and the creative process. Welcome, Oscar. And again, thank you so much for doing this today.
It's my pleasure. It is an honor to meet you, Mr. Sterling.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
And Paul's an old friend of mine. I've known him for many, many years, and it's an honor to be on the show with
him. How did you meet Paul?
We were in Chicago together in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Defiant Ones, the musical. I don't know if you remember that one.
I do not.
It was a big, huge show that we did.
Our guest remembers it. Yes.
Joseph Jefferson Awards. We were, and then, of course, the show got really big, and then fame and egos, and then we broke up. And then 20 years later, we became friends again, and here we are in L.A., and now we're on your show.
That's awesome. Fate has a funny way of finding people, right?
And fame tore us apart.
Oh, there you go.
And it brought us back together again. And that's what show business is all about.
Right.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
In the studio with us today are the stars of the Henry Jaglom and Rainbow Theatre Company's production of Richard Nash's The Rainmaker, presented in association with the Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica, California. Say hello to Tana, Frederick, and Robert Stanley. Give it up!
Hello.
Thank
How are you.
You,
Tana?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm terrific. I'm happy you're here.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank
you. Sorry
you
got
so
caught
much.
In whatever you got caught in there.
There's a landslide on the PCH.
On the PCH. Oh,
that
okay.
That happens, yeah. But
it's always something, right?
It's LA. There's always something. But I'm really happy I'm here.
Well,
I'm happy to see you guys. And thanks for promoting
the
Rainmaker.
Oh, my goodness. Our pleasure. Pleasure to have both of you in the studio. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not all. On the line with us today is our first guest. He is one of LA's most revered theater directors. He recently directed the wonderful Sally Struthers in Always Patsy Cline, Academy Award winner Rita Moreno's one-person show, My Life Without Makeup, the great Tyne Daly's critically acclaimed nightclub acts, simply titled Songs, and The Second Time Around, and numerous theater productions from The Lion in Winter to The Lullaby of Broadway. He's here today, however, to talk about an annual project of his called STAGE. That is an acronym for Southland Theater Artists Goodwill Event. Now in its 29th consecutive year as the world's longest running benefit in support of AIDS, STAGE will present Broadway My Way on Saturday, April 6th at the beautiful Saban. I don't know. Does anyone know how to properly say that?
I stick with Saban myself.
Yeah, I think it sounds a little
Saban
more,
sounds a little more pretentious, but
yeah.
It just feels right.
Saban.
The Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. And the event is proudly sponsored by Wells Fargo, HBO, and the Swerdlove and Astor Company. The event features Andrew Rennells, that's another one. I'm sorry, I don't know how to
we'll
say it. Sounds kind
Rennells.
Of French if you
we'll
say
go
Rennells.
With Rennell.
I think it's Rennells. From Broadway's The Book of Mormon and television's The New Normal, and such iconic stars as Florence Henderson, Joanne Worley, Shirley Jones, and many more. Please welcome a Los Angeles Stage Alliance Life Achievement of Ovation Award winner, the one, the only, David Galligan.
Yeah. It's very nice. Don't hold back, folks.
There you go. David?
Oh, my God. Thank you.
They love you. Crazy.
They love you.
David, thank you for doing this. I know this is your first day of rehearsal. Is it today or is it?
No, it's my third. It's my third.
Your third day of rehearsal.
Joanne Worley should be walking through my door momentarily.
I just saw Joanne at the opening of Catch Me If You Can last week and did a lovely interview with her, as we always do when she's on the red carpet.
She's
there.
She's the best. Yeah.
She is. She really is. David, I know how personal this particular event is to you because you've been doing it, as I said, 29 years later.
Yeah, I was a young man when it started.
Tell us about what you've done through the years and the success of this. And I know that you also do something similar in San Francisco, do you not?
I do. Yeah, I do. Help is on the way up there for Richmond Ermitt AIDS Foundation.
And is that something that comes up after this event?
I don't know the date. It's mid-August. I do know that. I think it's the 18th. I'm pretty sure. But somebody came to me, actually Michael Kearns and James Carroll Pickett came to me very early in my career and said that there was a disease that was attacking gay men, and it didn't have a name. And would I help? And I said, of course I would. And Susan Obrow, a partner of mine, we all four began what would become an annual event. A dubious distinction. I wish they'd find a cure for AIDS, and we all do. But till then, we're out there striving to make money for AIDS Project Los Angeles, and hopefully one day we won't have to do this. We'll find somebody, another worthy cause to help. But till then, we're with AIDS Project Los Angeles and helping them help clients with AIDS. They have a grocery store, they have a dental clinic, they have everything there to help. And people that buy tickets will also donate, come with various things that are needed for the clients of AIDS Project Los Angeles, like toothpaste and mouthwash and groceries and so on and so forth.
There's often forgotten simple things in life that are very important when you don't have them, you know?
Yes, exactly. But so many people nowadays think because of the cocktail that there's a cure for it, that AIDS has been cured, which is not true, certainly. It's just no longer, you know, a cause for some people. They neglect it now. So.
Yeah, I often think sometimes that passive position that you just described is a little dangerous when people start thinking like that. It's something that we can never forget what kind of havoc it has played on humanity and what it's still really doing and it's capable of doing.
Well, yeah, so many of us have lost entire phone books, you know, to AIDS, you know.
Exactly.
Which is sad, and we should keep that in mind and hopefully support events like this, fundraisers to help AIDS Project Los Angeles or any of the AIDS charities.
Well, I must tell you, David, you know, any event of yours that I've ever been at, whether it's an event like this or something that you've directed, is always a class evening in the theater. Certainly this event, what you do, is beautiful and so tastefully done. How do you go about selecting the talent that you want in a particular event? Is it based around the theme that you put together? This being this year Broadway My Way, so that pretty
well. It's, you know, some of them, you know, they range in age from 98. I probably shouldn't say this, giving away but Patricia Morrison's age, but she is one of the stars of the show. And she just had a birthday yesterday or the day before, so that's 98.
She's still quite beautiful. I remember seeing her.
Oh, she's
in
a gorgeous woman,
right?
Gorgeous. She sings beautifully, and she's doing Wunderbar with Davis Gaines. But John McDaniel, my music director. Mm-hmm. I say my, but it's a collaboration. We're complete partners in artistically, and we brainstorm and talk about the event and, you know, pick the music and who would we love to see sing it, and it eventually takes form and it becomes a show.
That's so awesome. That is amazing. And do you have any idea about how much has been raised dollar-wise through these 20
I think
years?
Over the 29 years, we're not a high-priced ticket. I mean, we're not, you know, like one of those $1,000 a seat show.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably upwards of 2 to 3 million. I know that 2 or 3 seems like, why doesn't he know? But I don't really know. I know it's a lot.
Well,
29 years, you know, it's... But we're, you know, we've gone from 3 performances to 1 performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm not quite sure of. I have my own suspicions why, because I think musically, because we support people, the artistry of people like the Gershwins or Julie Stein and the, mostly the Broadway composers, that I think music has changed so radically over the last 20 years that the kids are not always particularly interested in that kind of genre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hate that word also, but I don't know what else to say. But, you know, working with 30 dancers and was trying to teach them Our Love Is Here to Stay. It was an all Gershwin evening, George and Ira. And I said, thank you for doing the show, and thank you so much, and do you know the lyrics to this? And they all looked blankly at me. I said, well, do you know the song at all? And then one person raised their hand, and I said, well, then you certainly know who George Gershwin, and George and Ira Gershwin were, and they looked blankly at me again, and one person raised their hands and said, didn't he write the music for United Airlines? And you wanted to give
a
up
side
at that
job
point.
And, wrote that
and the
music.
Same person said, well, I know who George Gershwin was, but I certainly don't know his wife. Meaning Ira.
Oh, has it really come to that? Wait, oh, my God.
Well, I'm afraid it has come to that.
Oh,
I don't
David.
Think... but if anybody, if the youngsters are interested, and I'm talking about that generation, you know, and they owe it to themselves to take care of musically where this country has gone or been, they should come see the show. They should see Tyne Daly do Rose's Turn because it's definitive.
Absolutely.
If you care anything about Broadway, I sound like I'm on a soapbox here. If you care anything about Broadway, then come see us. You know, it's worth it. You know, if you want to see the original Kiss Me, Kate, then come see us. If you want to see the definitive Rose, do Rose's Turn, then come see it. If you want to see Janis Paige, who was the original Babe in Pajama Game, come see us. You know, it's...
Or...
You owe it to yourself and to history, you know, to support that. And then you have young performers like Andrew Reynolds, I believe. I'm not sure about that either. Reynolds. Who has picked his song. He's not doing anything with Book of Mormon. It's Broadway My Way, and he always wanted to sing What Kind of Fool Am I? So he's doing it his way, and that's from Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. So he's honoring that show.
He's such a talent. It goes on and on. And, you know, just as you said, I come see someone like Andrew, who is, of course, the star of his own very popular television series, The Next Normal. I mean... Is that right?
That's the New
right.
Normal.
The New Normal, excuse me. And then you've got Alex Newell that was just added to the cast. Is that correct?
Yes.
And he's from Glee, of course.
And that's very exciting because we talked about it, he and John and myself. And Broadway, his way, is he wants to do Meadowlark.
Oh,
from
fascinating.
Baker's Wife,
yeah.
Which is really a female song, a difficult song. And I can hardly wait to see what happens. I'm very excited about that because it's new and it's astonishing.
I had the pleasure of interviewing him recently also for Broadway World Television, and he's quite a character. He's very, very present and very excited to be a part of this entertainment business and having the breaks that he's having through Glee, which has afforded him, you know, obviously great exposure. And he's also serving now as a role model for other young people like him.
Yes, the colorful figure.
Exactly.
Good for him.
Exactly. Well, David, we are just about out of time with you, but I want to tell our listening audience how to be a part of this amazing event, again, at the Saban Theater. Am I saying that right, David?
Yes, I believe so.
Saban Theater in Beverly Hills on Saturday, April 6th. And it's very simple. You simply go to the following web address, stagela.com or apla.org/stage. Either of those two websites for tickets and detailed information about the event. And it's all there for you, and you are supporting something that is vitally important to all of us here in Los Angeles, across the country, throughout the world. David Galligan has been a champion of that cause for 29 years, and he's making a difference. So should you. So, David, thank you so much for being with us and sharing with us your thoughts about this year's event. Sounds fantastic.
Nice to be good, Michael. Thank you very much.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay.
Yes.
He is a nice man.
Very nice.
Doing some nice things.
He is doing good things for humanity.
Yes.
And it's shocking at this day and age, the lack of awareness that goes on.
It is. I think, as he said, you know, when something kind of has a little fix, like the cocktail that he was referring to, the pill form that kind of keeps everything at bay, it doesn't mean that it's over. You know, and people can't. Really shouldn't think that way or take risks. Even those who are afflicted by this, you know, I think kind of think a little differently sometimes about it. But
and I think the reason also because it happened so recently, it's such a fresh pain for so many people that it's kind of being brushed under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
But we workshopped the cast of Rainmaker. We workshopped Randall Kleiser's It's My Party with Randall, and I don't know if you guys remember that.
I know
that.
Randall.
Man, because I've done so many film to plays with Henry Jaglom, I said, Randall, let's do this. It's a moving piece. And he said, you know, I don't know if it still pertains. And because it's about an HIV man who invites all these people over to his house to to commit suicide because he's diagnosed with AIDS, and it was at the point where there was nothing to be done about it, originally played by Eric Roberts. And it was a personal story for Randall, but we did this reading, and Randall hadn't heard the film or the dialogue of the film
right.
since It's My Party came out, and it was so powerful and so moving, and I think Randall just hadn't revisited that, you know. Because it was such a huge part of everybody's life, and especially in Hollywood. And he has a wall covered with pictures of his friends who have died of AIDS. And the emotions that came to him after we finished doing that staged reading of it were just so palpable and so powerful. He just curled up and started crying. It was amazing, and I think that. I don't mean to be just going off, but we did this recently, mm-hmm. and I think that it really is such a tender epidemic that people are afraid to talk about still, because people don't understand it, because it was so painful, because it was so recent,
mm-hmm.
and so I think it's fantastic that they're doing that benefit.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to one of our guests on State of the Arts today, and I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second so that Oscar can give you a proper introduction.
Because
Sterling speaking to.
Mr. Starling wrote you an introduction, and I'm going to read it.
Yay! Where's the applause?
Damn it!
Woo woo!
Woo woo! I hear some woo woo.
Yeah.
And I can just do this all day long. Okay. Our next guest is currently starring in the hit play The Rainmaker at the Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica, now through its just announced extension, May 19th. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
The Los Angeles Times not only gave the production its prestigious Critics' Choice Seal of Approval, chunk, but said her acerbically yearning portrayal of Lizzie is a transformation not to be missed. An award-winning actress. She's also no stranger to motion pictures. No, she isn't. Championed by distinguished director, playwright, filmmaker Henry Jaglom, she has starred in Hollywood Dreams, Queen of the Lot, Just 45 Minutes from Broadway, The M Word, and many others. Please welcome Miss Tana Fedrick. Give it up now.
Here you go.
There you go.
I really love you.
Can I I just rent him for please, so I can take him everywhere with me, and he can give me an introduction to like the dentist office.
Yeah.
Anywhere I go.
Oh, God.
I mean,
is this the way it is in the theater with you? They just go on and on?
Probably. That's
a little
hear.
Louder. No, I'm just kidding.
Guys, throwing underwear on stage and everything, and you know, and
Oscar deserves
hotel
an Oscar.
Keys.
Holy cow!
Yeah.
Wow,
that's just, real.
You must be a really good actress if you know. Wow.
It's a good show. It's a good show. But you do give you give good introduction, man. Like I've had a lot of introductions in the last 11 years, and that was the best one I've ever had. And I want to say. Oscar goes to you.
I learned everything I learned from Paul Strolley.
Oh, wow. Yes. Paul, if you're out there, what did you do? You created a monster here.
He's wonderful.
No, he's fantastic. The Rainmaker, let's talk about that. Tell our audiences, for those who haven't seen this amazing play, and a classic as it is, tell us the plot of this.
It's about a girl who's feels herself to be plain. She lives with two brothers, a father, in a smaller town during the Dust Bowl. Their ranch is going down the toilet because of the drought, and this man comes into their house who's a complete stranger and a hustler and promises them. For $100, which in 1936 was a lot of money, that he can bring rain. And
would that man be the gentleman sitting to your right?
You nailed it.
The one, the only. Robert Stanley. Did I do that well?
You did it great.
No,
that
but you, I know you can you can say it better than me, but I'm just trying. I'm learning here. Robert Stanley.
Robert Stanley.
He'll get his.
He'll get his in my mind.
So he plays Starbuck, and then... What transpires between my character of Lizzie and the family and their own insecurities about life and dreaming and doubts about love and themselves all plays out with this this magical hustler who comes in and says he'll bring rain and gives them all tasks to bring rain. And it's a beautiful, beautiful play. It's my second N. Richard Nash play that I've done. In Los Angeles, I did Echoes at the Coronet a while back, and this was originally filmed with Burt Lancaster and Katharine Hepburn.
Mm-hmm.
And
1956,
exactly. And I think what's really wonderful about pulling this piece back and having gotten such amazing reviews from it is what you were just talking about earlier is the fact that there is such a disparity between. What the youth of today know as theater and what they don't know about the roots of not only theater but film, everything, and musicals, and how important the popularity of this show has been in educating so many people because we have all generations coming mm-hmm. and loving the show, and that is to me the education and the experience that they're getting and the fact that a 17-year-old girl can walk out of this play crying and having some sort of epiphany about her own self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And that those sort of things are just timeless and don't change, and that's the power of theater. So that's what really excites me about this particular show and when you reprise a show with this sort of that could either fall on its face or fly, really. There's one of two things which could happen.
And that's sort of what the Los Angeles Times kind of implied at the beginning, that it's in one of those could have been a choice, and it certainly wasn't. It was, the right choice for this show. How it was produced and your performance and everyone else's was in the show. So I think it's important, as you said, too, certainly exposing young people to this kind of theater.
Absolutely.
And if they're not getting it through universities, if they're not studying it in universities, which is where they would most likely be exposed to it, then they need to get out to the theater. And it's always something that we say on this show to parents is to and to anybody, you know, support live theater. Get mm-hmm. out there, see it. It's less expensive than you think. It's probably less expensive sometimes than going to see a movie.
It's free for students.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, Henry Jaglom was very insistent on that mandatory ticket for students. Every ticket be free for a student of theater, and it's great because. One of my dear friends came to see it the other day. I think he's 86, and he said, I am a student of theater. And I said, go you. And because he is. We are all students. He said, Kazan said, you're a student of theater till the day you die. You know nothing. And that's how it works. So any ages, all ages, if you're a student of theater, film, if you're an actor, come to see the show. And get them free.
You know,
get your artsy fartsy on. That's what I say.
Yeah, exactly. Get it on.
Right?
Yeah.
Artsy fartsy on.
Tana is correct. The glory of this piece is it transcends any age group, and it was written in 1954, but the universality of it, going off of what David Galligan was talking about, AIDS, daily life is harsh, whether it's the drought of back then or it's AIDS today, and most people seek escape from it in some form of fantasy or... So Starbuck is a master at this. He knows people's weakness, and he uses it against them to get wealth, but he doesn't see it as scamming people because he gives them hope and freshness. His whole journey with Lizzie, as she was talking about, he teaches her how to see how special she is inside. As she sees it, they feel for each other, and it turns into this blossoming romance. It's really glorious. It's very uplifting and hopeful.
And it's really kind of a romantic comedy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It is a romantic comedy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We have 7-year-old girls that giggle in the audience with it as they watch. We have 92-year-old people going, I remember when I had a chance for a Starbuck in my life. It covers all the bases.
It really does. It's really fantastic.
Yeah.
And Jack Keller's direction is also a testament to the success of our play, because Jack directed us, and it could be a fluffy, it could go in the direction of being a fluffy comedy, since it is a romantic comedy. It can be very cliched, but Jack's he demands reality, he demands honesty, and the cast we responded to that, and so it's a very real, yet at the same time, slice of human nature sort of spectacle that you know, you don't often get, I think, in theater. Because of Jack Keller, he's just a great director.
She's
a big
right.
fan of Jack. Big
it's a,
fan
it's
of
a
Jack.
Potent combination. It's got magical realism mixed with grittiness.
Right.
So it really packs a punch.
We're going to tell people how to go see this show. We're not quite done speaking with Tana, but it is at the Edgemar Center for the Arts on the main stage, and that lovely theater in that area over there is at 2437 Main Street in Santa Monica. And it is now, through its extension of May 19th, it plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 5 o'clock. Admission, it is not even $35. It's just below that number, and it's a limited number of tickets that will be available for each performance at $25. And you can't get any better than that, right?
Unless
you're a student.
Exactly. And it's free because you're a student.
That's
you're
right.
learning, and you're going to learn more about
That's
the
right.
arts. Michael, do you mind if I ask Tana a question?
Not at all, but let me just finish
okay, so
about ticketing.
Ahead.
For reservations or tickets, call 310-392-7327 or go online at EDGEMAR Center. And that's center spelled with an E-R at the end. So edgemarcenter.org. Go ahead, Oscar.
I was looking at your bio.
Is that good or bad?
It was good.
I was looking at your legs.
I was still thinking about the Defiant ones.
Yes. It was real. I can't believe you guys never heard of that Defiant. The Defiant ones, the musical. Me and Paul Strolley.
It was based on the movie with Sidney Poitier and Tony Curtis.
I was the Negro.
Yeah.
And Paul Strolley was the redneck.
Casting, huh?
And just going back and forth across stage running. It was a marvel. That's what they said in the press. They were marvels. They said we were marvels.
Very nice.
Anyway, back to the question. There's this quote here that said that they compared you to Betty Davis on crack.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
That's my
she
favorite.
She was an inspiration,
quote,
wasn't she?
Ever. She's one of my heroes. I mean, all my heroes exist in that 40s period.
Yeah.
And so that was coming out of the gate, my first film with Henry Jaglom, and I played this girl coming Hollywood Dreams, this girl who comes out from Iowa and wants to be a star, and it was a great visitation into the minds of actors and the struggle and all the crap that actors go through when you move here, especially if you're from the Midwest and you're kind of knocked on your booty because you have no idea how
Culture
to drive
shock.
Around Los Angeles or drive down Ventura, let alone find a casting director's office. But that was my first quote from the LA Times or from the New York Times, and it was Bette Davis on crack. And I think I read that and I thought, okay, I can die happy now. Because it does not get any better than that. I mean, she really was a goddess, and her roots are in theater. And I love her choices. I love her specificity. I love her unapologetic reality that she presents. I love that she was not afraid to be ugly in her roles. I love everything about Bette Davis. I think she was a brave, brave woman. And so she is one of my role models. So that is my favorite quote of all time. Thank you for bringing that up.
I saw it just jumped right at my face. I'm like, oh, I got to find out about this. How does the actor prepare for that? You know, I mean.
Just do crack. Yeah, no, just kidding. Not so much. No.
Not so much. Exactly.
Not so much. Diet Coke.
Diet crack.
Diet crack.
There
yeah,
you go.
That's what it
Same
is.
Same thing. Oscar, we have a live arts calendar. Are you going to kick that off for us today?
I certainly will. One Night with Janis Joplin, created, written, and directed by Randy Johnson, and starring Mary Bridget Davies, who gives an acclaimed performance as Janis Joplin, is a full-on concert experience and musical journey into the inspirations of one of rock and roll's greatest legends. With a voice like whiskey and a laugh like pure joy, Janis Joplin took the music scene by storm. Simultaneously rough and vulnerable, Joplin was dubbed the queen of rock and roll, providing music wasn't just a man's world. No, it wasn't. Not anymore. One Night with Janis Joplin also shines a spotlight on the great African-American blues artist who influenced Janis' musical style and career, including Bessie Smith,
mm-hmm,
Etta James, and Aretha Franklin.
You go, girl.
This new musical event includes a live onstage band and features Joplin hits and classic songs such as Piece of My Heart, Mercedes-Benz, Me and Bobby McGee, Ball and Chain, and Summertime, When the Living is Easy. Yeah. Creating a compelling portrait of an artist through the words and music of one of America's greatest rock and roll icons. One Night with Janis Joplin will play at the historic Pasadena Playhouse through April 21st. And you and a guest may be sitting in the audience as guests of the Pasadena Playhouse if you write us a message between today and next Thursday, March 28th, on our Facebook page at facebook.com/stateoftheartsLA. Tell us exactly why you'd like to see One Night with Janis Joplin. The most impassioned plea for tickets will be the winner. For more information about the production itself and the Pasadena Playhouse, visit PasadenaPlayhouse.org. We have two pairs of tickets to give away, and we are looking for a winner. Good luck.
Oscar, you make everything really
it's
exciting.
Like, yeah, you're
I'm just a Janis Joplin fan. That's all.
Michael,
what can I say?
Oscar owned that ad.
Yeah, I'll say.
I just want you to be there saying, Tana's now going to walk to the refrigerator. She's removing a Diet Coke from the refrigerator. She's closing the refrigerator. I mean, life is like
you kind of
really
hang on
exciting
to every word, right?
It's great.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, earned critical acclaim across America as Starbuck in the national tour of The Rainmaker. He also recently appeared in Center Theater Group's Post Office. He has also starred as Billy Bigelow in Carousel, Lancelot in Camelot, Stanley Kowalski in A Streetcar Named Desire, and as Hal in Picnic, all classic roles. Television audiences will remember him from his regular and recurring roles on ABC's Invasion, Fox's Melrose Place, ABC's All My Children, and the Turner Broadcasting Network's Breaking Through. And he is currently starring opposite our guest, Tana Frederick, in The Rainmaker at the Edgemar Center for the Arts now through May 19th. Please welcome Robert Standley.
Yes. Oh, stop.
See, you said stop, and then they stopped.
Now you take me literally.
Now you're the master.
Too soon.
I just like to say before we begin that, Mr. Standley, your hair is perfect.
Well, thank you.
Isn't it? He's got one mane.
It's carefully casual. The wind blew it to this.
They did.
I'm telling you. You wake up, it's messed up. The wind makes you look okay. Thank you, wind.
You're probably one of those guys that wakes up and it does look like that, right?
Oh, stop. I've been blessed with a full head of hair. I will say that. Thanks, Pop.
Yeah, exactly. My dad, too. So, how is it working with this
talented woman and a beautiful woman to boot.
Ugh, well,
must be tough.
It is a romantic comedy, so I get to partake of both of those. But yeah. Let me tell you something. What you were talking about, this transformation. There's one critic who brought this out. They said her transformation is a sight not to be missed. I'm lucky enough to be there. It's an attack room, and she's very insecure and lonely, and I teach her how to turn inward and see what's beautiful about herself, and literally the way Tana does this. You can't fake this. You can't teach this. She lights up from inside. Her hair is now down around her face, and you can hear a pin drop in the audience. And I'm like 3 inches away from her face watching her go through this transformation. Same actress. I swear it's a completely different character. She becomes full of femininity and beauty, everything that's lovely in the world. And then, of course, we have that wonderful kiss, because romantic comedies must have that kiss. And then the audience is swooned. So I'm very honored to be part of her and Rainbow Theater Company that Henry Jaglom and she are in charge of. It's a first-class operation. I've done a lot of theater. They treat you like royalty, complete royalty, not just the compensation. The first-grade gourmet food they throw at you, so much you don't even want to eat anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the best.
That's fantastic. Well, that's how it should be in theater, I think, right?
I concur.
I mean, it should be. Seriously. You know, I think people who are on a theater stage probably work harder than anybody.
Yeah.
And it's only, and always, you know, it's a moment-by-moment situation. It can never be redone, you know, that same performance. You'll never see that performance again.
Right.
You'll see a different performance, but you'll never see that one. And
which
I think
the magic about it too,
exactly.
Which is wonderful, but it also is the, it's you're kind of living on the edge, and theater in Los Angeles I think is underrated as it is, and it's difficult to get the applause for an amazing show that you do. And I mean, this, I've done lots and lots of theater out here, and this is the first show that I've been in that I received a Critics' Choice. Mm-hmm. Award for, and it's, you know, it's really tough because I don't think people take Los Angeles as seriously as New York in the theater scene when we have amazingly talented new work coming out of here. We have amazingly talented actors. We have everything. We have the facilities, and we just need to just get a little bit more of a rep for being a serious theater
town. I agree.
Town.
And you have people like this man, like Robert.
And
has
Robert
a career
did,
that
yes.
that spans, you know, various parts of theater, musical theater as well. Obviously, we mentioned that in his bio. How did you start in theater, Robert?
I started at 3 years old. My mom put me on a stage, and the minute I got my first laugh, I was hooked. And
yeah.
so it only went up from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I
where are you from?
Originally Dallas, Texas.
I noticed a little bit of twang.
You hear just a hint of that, buddy?
Just yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It pays off well in this show too.
Yeah, I would imagine.
A cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to. I was always interested in stretching my range, so I learned how to sing at a young age. So I do the musicals, TV, film, plays. Back what Tana was saying about stage here in theater here in Los Angeles. Not just me. This entire cast, the whole ensemble, we are like one little pulsing human family, to where we rely on each other so much to this thing, that even if a person's seeing it for the first time live. It's a whole unique thing because each of us, every night, our performance is just slightly different because it's so filled. You can't just repeat it rote every night.
Right.
And you know, the love scenes, there's always a new element to them each different night. Each one's it's apples and oranges. None's better or worse. It's just it's a delight. It's electrifying.
And I think when you have a show like ours where you have a cast that loves each other again, it's all about theater alchemy. And you have a director who's really enjoys the show, and you have a great set, and all so on and so forth. I think what the best compliment that you can get is returning houses. And this is the kind of show where people come back to see it 4 times, 5 times. They don't just come because there is such a variation on the show. Not so much that if you saw it once, you would completely not recognize it the next night, but there is such subtle variation. We all do respond so sensitively to one another on stage that it is a different show every night, and so people love to come back, notice what they didn't notice, see something that they didn't see before. I really appreciate our returning audiences.
Well, and the very fact that you can extend a show in Los Angeles is a huge, you know, shout out to the quality of the production, because it's just not done very often, and when it is done, it's a risk, you know, to do that. So.
What's lovely is we get full houses all the time. We get standing ovations. It really touches people deep in their heart, and it's not just the returning people. It's word of mouth, which is even better in Los Angeles. Oh, so-and-so saw this, and they cried for a day afterwards, so now here I am. Beautiful
woman. And not only that, is you get paid to do love scenes.
There you go. And eat gourmet food while I'm out.
Wow. What's not to like?
Did you say eat gourmet?
Eat gourmet.
She on the show too.
There you go.
Okay.
Rough crowd. Rough crowd.
Really? I'm here all week. Yeah. No, you're right. And you know, the commitment to get people in their cars and out of their houses into the theater, that's also very important here in LA, and it's a big, sometimes a big hurdle to, you know, to get over, and people making those kinds of commitments. But again, as we said, classic theater and quality theater that's getting rave reviews and starring two very, very fine and very skilled actors and a cast of other skilled professionals. This is your opportunity to get out there and see theater live and make it worthwhile. And again, this is something that has been extended for your opportunity to see it through May 19th. What was the original date that it was going to run through?
April?
Was it April something?
I don't think, no, we didn't we extend?
Yes, we did.
I don't think so. We opened
this is
in,
a second extension?
In January. Mm-hmm. This is our second extension.
Wow, that's so March.
March.
There you go.
It's
fantastic.
The second extension. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, this is all the more important reason why you should see it, ladies and gentlemen, because it has been extended twice. So it's giving you all sorts of opportunities one more time. Edgemar Center for the Arts on the main stage, 2437 Main Street, Santa Monica, California, now through May 19th. Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30, Sundays at 5. Nice hour to go out and see a piece of theater and go out and have a nice bite to eat in Santa Monica there somewhere. Admission is $34.99. Can't beat that. And a limited number of tickets will be available for $25 a piece. Reservations 310, area code 392-7327, or online at edgemarcenter.org. Right?
That's right.
Now, we're coming to a little place in the show. We haven't even told you about this yet. It's something that we do. We do it with everybody who's a guest here. And we ask them to kind of take a moment and reach back into the memory banks of your experience in theater or film or television, and we want you to share with our audience. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You know that we do this.
We do this.
The most awkward, embarrassing, perhaps, moment in your career. And it could be, you know, one or two. It can be a couple. It can be a couple of things. It doesn't have to be from theater necessarily. We kind of prefer that since that's what we're here for, but it could be anything and everything at all. So we know that it happens, right?
Oh, I'm just filtering through all of the many situations that I could possibly talk about.
Wheels are turning. So who's ever ready first?
I'll start.
There you go. Robert.
And it's coincidental because it was the musical version of The Rainmaker called 110 in the Shade.
Okay.
There is a scene where I make my first entrance, and I'm up on this big grandstand of my wagon, and all the village people are watching me, and I'm supposed to be this charismatic Elvis Presley guy singing the rain song. And I'm really grooving, and I'm swinging my magical stick up there while I'm in the middle of this chorus rousing part, and I'm shaking, and the audience is laughing and laughing, and I'm thinking, wow, they're really responding more than ever before. And they're laughing, and they're laughing. And all of a sudden, I look down at the cast, and they're laughing, but they're looking right at my lower part of my trousers. I look down, zipper wide open. Fortunately, I had on some underwear, so I happen to be wearing, you know how sometimes you run out of underwear that are clean, so you find that one pair of boxers that had like the little happy faces on it. I'm wearing one of those embarrassing kinds with paisley and all that, full flash, and I'm thinking I'm getting down, and the audience is howling with laughter. The cast is on the floor cracking up in the middle of this number, and I look down, and I just carried on as though nothing ever happened. Inside, I was deeply humiliated, though, I can assure you.
Wow.
I got a standing ovation on that one, too, by the way.
So you can't go wrong with Paisley underwear.
Exactly. There you go. Oh, you see, everyone liked that.
We love that.
Thank you very much.
You and Prince both wear Paisley underwear, so that means something.
Dig if you will.
Yep.
All right, you're up, Tana.
Okay, go ahead. I got to give you the drum roll.
I think. Doing the Enricher. I think I've paid my penance or done my penance for this show, for Rainmaker to have been popular and get good reviews, because I did Enricher Nash's Echoes, which was a very dark, strange, experimental play from the 70s. And we would... The audience has dwindled so much down to like six people, and then half of them would leave during intermission because they hated it. And if this would be my first automatic response, is just how many people have walked out of that show, and the celebrity of the people who have walked out. And I love Dennis Hopper, and he was a dear friend. And it was before I actually knew him, though, so he walked out of the Echoes. And, you know, there were four people in the audience, and he and his wife left at halftime. So then it's like, do we go back on because it's a three-person show and there's two people in the audience, or do we keep performing? And, of course, the show must go on, as painful and awkward.
That's got to be tough.
As depressing as Dennis Hopper, the king of experimental performances, leaving your theater. Oh, so that would be my story.
That's a memory.
That's a memory.
That's a downer.
That one is a downer. Mine feels so superfluous now, suddenly.
Yeah. You know, Oscar, you really haven't, since you're brand new with us today and you're so kind to sit in for Paul, I think we should probably baptize you as well. And you've got to have some baptized. As a musician.
Like the baby Jesus, I shall be baptized. Michael Sterling, it's an honor to be baptized by you.
Yes, sir.
So, now what do we talk about?
We want to talk about you.
Talk about me.
Give us a little embarrassing moment in your career.
Embarrassing moment in my career. Mm-hmm. Gosh, there's so many, you know. Last year, I was in this play called Emma. It was an original play. And I was the evil killer guy, you know, the wife beater. And there was a fight scene with my wife, and I'm supposed to attack her. Then she turns the tables, then she gets me back, and it's like, yay, at the end. And, you know, I'm cool with that. Well, she gets me in a headlock, and just when she was in a moment. She was in a moment on stage where she was feeling it. She was really feeling it, and she whipped me around, and I fell against the counter, and the back of my pants ripped open, and my whole butt was hanging out, and I didn't have a Paisley underwear on, but I had the short shorts, the teeny briefs up, you know, and it was not pretty, and you know, it was supposed to be this moment because it's a fight scene, but instead it was a comic moment because butt was hanging out on all, and it was a packed house, and it was just really embarrassing. And I'm still in therapy.
Short shorts with a wedgie. That's embarrassing.
That was pretty embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
I don't know. This is a recurring thing, because the one I was going to tell you about is also from my days as an actor. And early on in musical theater, really early on in musical theater, and I was doing, for 3 years, I did a show called Bye Bye Birdie.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I did it with Dick Van Dyke. I did it with Jerry Van Dyke. I did it with George Gobel. I did it with Sherry Lewis. I did it so many times, and grew up kind of in this show, playing various and assorted roles. At the beginning of the show, it's a transition from the fact that the show starts in New York, and then it makes a transition to Sweet Apple, Ohio. And in doing so, we were doing the show here at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, which had been converted to a theater in the round. So 3,000 seats in the round, because it was a time when theater in the round was hugely popular across the country, especially in California. And the excitement of this particular scene, the way it was directed, was that when the transition came, we were all dressed as in New York, you know, outfits. So it was like suits and ties and, you know, kind of more formal. And then a strobe light came on as the orchestra is, you know, playing frantically. And these clothes are peeled off of you by your dressers, and you've underdressed so that you're now becoming a resident of Sweet Apple, Ohio, and in all American clothes. So this happens, and it happens only in the course of about 15 seconds. And I'm standing up there, and I've got an American flag in my hand, and I'm waving it, and I'm, you know, we're all of us who are the teens in the show, we're all going crazy because Conrad Birdie is, you know, expected to arrive, and we're waiting, you know, for his arrival. And I am just, you know, doing my job is what I was doing, and then all of a sudden, I look down, and I had forgotten to put my pants on when I was underdressing before the show started. Wow. I had the outer pants on, but they came off because they were Velcroed, and, you know, that dresser was flying away at that point. And I was standing there in a dance belt, and talk about my ass hanging out.
Wow. Oh,
Oscar.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nudity. Nudity is all of our public embarrassments. I love it.
1,500 people got more than just a show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, nobody complained. They didn't ask for their money back. So
they probably wanted to see it again.
Boy, dance belts.
Yeah.
Now, there's a wedgie. There's a wedgie.
I think I heard about that show.
Did
I think
you?
That's a part of theater lore, is
you and your dance belt. Yeah. So that was...
Dance belts.
Good times. Good
because
times.
Because I don't know dance belts, so those are like a glorified jock strap, right?
Oh no. Jock straps don't go up. These are a true wedgie.
Yeah, these
you don't
really
get more wedgie than
wedge-o-matic.
Become conditioned to wear them. There you go.
Thank you.
But we have run out of time, ladies and gentlemen, and we have had. Thank you so much for first of all, Tana. And Robert being here today and helping us.
You're both very attractive people.
Yes, you are.
And I think everyone who's listening to this should see you perform on stage. Because I'm going to go. I'm there.
Yes.
All right. Don't forget, on stage now through May 19th, The Rainmaker, and also David Galligan's stage event, Broadway My Way at the Savant Theater on April 6th. And you can help an amazing cause, which is finding a cure for AIDS by going to that event. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Oscar, thank you for sitting in. Thank you, Tana. Thank you, Robert. And we'll see you on the radio.
Thank you, Mrs. Sterling. It's an honor.
Pleasure.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.